Hey, good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. Behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were much afraid. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, Arise and do not be afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah already came, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they wished. So also the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. And when they came to the multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I put up with you? How long shall I be with you? Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. And the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing will be impossible to you. But this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. And they were deeply grieved. And when they had come to Capernaum, those who collected the 2 drachma tax came to Peter and said, Does your teacher not pay the 2 drachma tax? And he said, Yes. And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, What do you think, Simon? From who do the kings of the earth collect customs or poll tax? From their sons or from strangers? And upon his saying, From strangers, Jesus said to him, Consequently, the sons are exempt. But lest we give them offense, go to the sea, throw in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a stater. Take that and give it to them for you and me. Amen. In chapter 17, we start with the transfiguration. All right, and obviously, the other Gospels will, in Mark and Luke, will talk about this a little bit more. And they'll express kind of the ridiculousness of Peter saying what he says, you know. Sometimes, you know, when the Lord comes in these things, it's just better just to enjoy the moment, you know. But Peter feels like he has something to say, and so he says something, but it's ludicrous in what he says because, you know, he's basically talking about, you know, oh, should I make a tabernacle for each of you guys? You know, but the idea is that their citizenship is not here on earth. Their citizenship is in heaven. You know, and to build a tabernacle or a house for them on earth would just be stupid, you know, in a sense. And so he goes off but aside from that, I just want to just talk a little bit. Now, Elijah and Moses play a pretty significant role, obviously, in the scriptures. But I don't know if you've noticed, they actually play a pretty significant role when we talk about the end times. You know, and Elijah, primarily because, you know, of who Elijah represents. Now, Elijah and Moses, especially like in the book of Revelation, you know, I don't know if you guys remember in Revelation chapter 11, it talks about the 2 witnesses that will come. Do you guys remember this? Right? There'll be 2 witnesses that God sends, and they will, you know, come upon the earth and they'll prophesy like, what was it, 1,200 and some days, you know, and, you know, they'll be in Egypt, you know, in Sodom, you know, kind of in that area, and they'll just prophesy against the nations, they'll prophesy against rulers, you know, and it'll be a whole season of doing this, and then they'll be in the streets, and then anyone that comes against them, things will happen to them, and then eventually the serpent will rise up and he'll basically kill the 2 witnesses, and they'll be left on the street for 3.5 days, and no one will come near them, and then the Spirit of God will blow life, and they'll stand up, and be raised from the dead, and people will be shocked, and then they'll be lifted up to heaven. You guys remember Revelation 11? You guys, most of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about. But most people think that that's Elijah and Moses. And it's because in the description, it talks about miracles, right? Like one particular says how you'll know that they'll be able to, you know, shut the heavens basically and no rain will come upon the other. Thus, Elijah. And it also said they'll have the power to turn, you know, water, you know, the rivers into blood. Thus, Moses, right? And so, you know, there's this, but obviously that's not Moses. It's the spirit of Moses and Elijah in the same way. And you know, and Moses, especially Elijah, plays a huge role because, you know, in the Old Testament, there's two people that didn't die. Do you remember who they were? Enoch and Elijah, right? And so, you know, some scholars believe that that's going to play a huge role in the judgment towards the end, right? And so we have this spirit of Elijah, and we talked about it a few weeks ago. Elijah, what he represents more than anything else is the father heart, you know, and which is interesting because he wasn't a father, which makes it a better case, actually, you know, that he wasn't a father, you know, and because, you know, in the scriptures, especially the Old Testament, all the fathers are crap. I don't know if you figured that out yet, right? They were all crap. You know, Abraham was, you know, I mean, I should not use those words, right? But he was not a good father, right? You know, David was not a good father. You know, I mean, just goes all the way down the line, right? There was favoritism, you know, I mean, just, you know, they didn't really treat their sons in the best way. I mean, it just goes all alongside, which really comes to the case in point because God comes and reveals himself to us as a father. And so there's a link there. There's a connection. And so you have Elijah, who never had natural kids, but Elijah had spiritual kids. You know, and Elijah raised up double portion sons, right? And so, you know, so there's an aspect there. And so Elijah is really this exalted figure, especially in the Old Testament, leading into the New. And he's going to represent, really, in essence, the spirit of revival. You know, in some ways, going to even represent the coming of Christ. Right? Remember in Malachi, he says, before the great and terrible day, he will send, you know, the spirit of Elijah, and he'll come and turn the hearts of the fathers to children. Right? The great and terrible day is the coming of Christ. But before that happens, God's going to release that spirit. And I tell you, he's releasing that spirit today. You know, it's happening right now. You know, and so these guys, you know, make a very important link in many ways from the Old Testament to the New Testament, especially to eventually the coming of the age. And so, you know, so the transfigure, you know, is happening. He's being caught up, you know, Moses and Elijah, which is a sign of what's to come, you know, is happening. Peter says some ridiculous things, but then the voice cries out, right? You know, and I don't want to make this so grand, but you know when you're having a genuine, audible encounter with God, right? In the sense that there's fear that runs through your life. You know, this is something that I think we really, you know, miss out on sometimes, right? We, you know, it's like we become, and not necessarily in a bad way, you know, but sometimes so familiar with God, right? You know, he's like, you know, Jesus is my friend, you know, and these kind of things. We don't recognize that Jesus, God, is awesome. You know, and if you look all throughout the scriptures, the people that really encountered God powerfully, they were scared for their life. You know, and in a similar way, now, you know, obviously we don't have to be scared in that way, but we should be repentant. You know what I mean? I think a lot of that fear that runs through these men is this idea, oh my gosh, you're holy and I'm not. You know, but a lot of the modern church, our attitudes are not of repentance. You know, our attitudes are very, very different, you know, for me personally, it just really makes me wonder sometimes, right? Obviously, yes, we adore the Lord and we love him and these kind of things, but there's always that place of trepidation as well, you know, that God can, he can kill me anytime he wants to, you know what I mean? And things, and so I don't know if you ever read like C.S. Lewis, you know, but, you know, like the Chronicles of Narnia. And there's a I mean, really, you know, Aslan, right? He actually is a really beautiful picture of this because he is first of all the lion, and he is fierce, right? But he's also quite lovable and quite caring, you know. And it's like this duality, you know, that's expressed in Aslan, you know, of this fierce lion that, you know, I mean, his roar shakes the earth, right? But then at the same time, he's also the protector, and he comes right on time, and you know, all these different aspects. And I think Lewis spent quite a bit of time crafting this God figure that he wanted to express in his books, you know, and thus he's got this, he's not a gentle lion by any means, but he's a caring lion, but he is fierce. You know, and Lewis, I think, really depicted this God, you know, that he, you know, held true in his own heart. And so the disciples, when they heard this, man, they fell on their faces and they were scared for their life, right? And remember, you know, most times when angels appear, when they have these incredible moments, what's the first word that the angel or you know, the Christophany or whatever, they say? This is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Happens all the time. Right, and I know sometimes in the scriptures, you know, they translate that as like awe, you know, that they were in awe, right? That's such a bad translation, right? Because the words, all it means the same thing, just literally means holy terror, right? They were wholly terrified, you know, in that way. And so, you know, we see this thing happening, and then the demoniac comes, you know, you know, this kid is just, I mean, he's off the rocker, right? I mean, he's crazy, you know, in the medical sense. And, they bring him to the Lord. He rebukes the spirit. The demon leaves. And then the disciples ask him, says, Jesus, why couldn't we do what you just did? You know, and he says, it's because of the littleness of your faith, right? The importance of faith being worked out. And he says, if you had a, and he uses this figure, this mustard seed. In this time, right, this was the smallest known seed to man. Right now, we know there's other seeds that are smaller than mustard seed. But in this time, right, in the first century, this was the smallest seed that was known to man. And so Jesus is just giving them a picture. This is, you know, he's not saying your faith needs to be huge. He says just a little bit. In fact, the smallest known seed, if you have just enough faith like this, you can say to this mountain and be moved, right? I knew a guy. I used to actually go up to his prayer mountain, and just a side note. But you know, it'd be great that if we raise some money and actually created our own prayer mountain somewhere in Hong Kong. That's just personally, it'd be kind of nice. Any case, and so yeah. So if you have a couple $1 million and you want to donate to that, that will, you know, more than receive, as long as you give to the building fund already. Okay, and so I had this guy, and he basically developed this prayer mountain, and I used to go up there quite a bit, and you know, spend nights in prayer. And he told me this one story; it just blew my mind. And he basically, you know, he started a church. It's a crazy story, but you know, Pastor Cho from Yoido Full Gospel. He was in L.A. for a period of time. And he did these crusades. And this particular pastor, he was with him in these crusades. And then Cho intended to build a church in L.A. And then the Lord told him to go back to Korea. And so he did. And then Yoido, you know, happened and all these things. So this is a while back. Or this is in between that period where he already built a church in Yoido. And the Lord told him to go back. And so all these people came up from this conference, you know. And basically there were so many people. And he basically said, okay, you pastor the church. And so here's this businessman. You know, and Cho basically says, so he started pastoring the church. He left his job, he started pastoring the church, and the church started growing, and he wanted to make a prayer mountain like they had in Korea. And so they go, and he starts building this prayer mountain, and, you know, it takes a lot of money to build these things, and so it kind of wiped the church out, and a lot of his church members started leaving to other places. You know, and so he's only got a few, you know, a handful of church members left, and they're still building this mountain. And so he basically almost is giving up on the church, and now he's just primarily focusing on the prayer mountain. You know, and so he's every day he's working the field, you know, he's clearing fields, he's building, you know, he's all kinds of stuff. And in the midst of this time, he's like losing his faith. You know, he's just thinking, this is rubbish. What am I doing here? You know, kind of thing. And every morning he would hike up to the top of the mountain and pray. And he's going through this period of time and he's so disenchanted with God. And so he says, okay, I'm going to do this for a period of days. I think he chose like 40 days. I'm going to just do this for 40 days. Basically, God, if you don't show up, I'm going to say goodbye, right? And so he goes up, and like the 40th day, he goes up to the mountain, actually intending to say goodbye to God. You know, I mean, really, he was going to basically say, okay, forget church, forget this prayer mountain, forget you, God, I'm leaving you, I'm going to go back to, you know, to my old job and live my life without you. And so he walked up to the mountain intending to say goodbye to God. He goes up to the mountain, and he gets up there, and now he's amassed a massive debt. And he just basically looking up to heaven says, okay, God, screw you. See you later. I don't want anything to do with you. You know, it's like if this is the way you treat your friends, you know, then I don't want to be your friend, you know, kind of thing, feeling sorry for himself. He goes and he's saying bye. And right then the Lord gives him this scripture, right? And it's this one here. It says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move and be moved to the sea. And he's like, what was that all about? He starts walking down from the mountain, and all of a sudden, these two trucks come onto his property. And if you guys are familiar with Southern California, this is actually close to Mountain High, you know, one of the ski resorts there. And so he's starting to come down from the mountain, and he meets these guys in this truck and these American contractors. And they start talking and says, hey, we're actually been doing surveys all along this area, and we actually are looking for dirt. You know, specific dirt, because we've been contracted by the California, you know, state to create a freeway, you know, along, you know, this corridor or whatnot. And basically the idea is that we've done this survey and we noticed that your mountain or your land here is the best composition, you know, of dirt, or I don't know what it is, that we need to build this freeway. And so we want to buy this dirt from you, this mountain, basically. How much are you willing to sell it for? And so he goes back and he prays a little bit, right? And basically, he just made a buttload of money, you know. That's probably not a good word to use in the morning, right? But he made a lot of money. And he, you know, all this, you know, all these funds, and he fixed his mountain. And literally what happened, because the freeway was actually right along the sea, the mountain moved, literally moved from the mountain on his prayer mountain, and it moved into the sea, next to the sea. Right, and obviously his faith was restored, you know, and he's doing well. His prayer mountain is doing well. It's beautiful. If you ever go there, it's got a nice lake there, and you know, people have retreats. I've been there many times, speaking at some retreats and whatnot, you know. But just this idea, right? And here's a guy that had no faith, was saying goodbye to God, you know, in a way. But that's what faith like a mustard seed is, you know. And so it's not like us trying to psych ourselves up and like, oh man, I need a lot of faith. You know, sometimes it's really coming to that place of real desperation, you know, and God just really needs just a little bit. I don't think, you know, the littleness of their faith. My interpretation of this, right, is the disciples, I think they focus on their abilities. You know what I mean? Like the way I see faith laid out in this scripture is really the issue of dependency. You know, and I don't necessarily think that, you know, not that they lack faith, or they believe God and they believe this, but they believe too much about themselves. And they didn't believe enough about God in this situation. You know, that can happen to us, right? You know, we can have so much faith in ourselves, and that's not confidence. That's arrogance, right? You know, instead of really having faith in God and in essence, really depending on God. You know, I mean, there are times, I mean, honestly, right, there are times that, you know, I've done this for so long, you know, I've almost been a pastor for, you know, as I look back, almost 20 years now, you know, and so, you know, even though I know I'm very young, you know, and things like that, but it's been a while, and forget it, and so, you know, I can very easily, just through my own systematic research, and through my own reading, and through my own studies, I could come up with a message. You know what I mean? I've done it for so long. Or in a different way, it's a heart thing where I can really depend on God. And see, the key, you know, personally, the key to preaching or speaking, right, is not that you come up with something. It's really to be dependent on the Lord, because he's the only one that can change hearts, right? I can speak to people's minds, right? But only Holy Spirit can speak to people's hearts. And that's a total difference, right? And things, and so, you know, so I think these guys, they just need to be more dependent on God instead of themselves. You know, have you ever been in a place like that where you were just too confident about yourself and not really in God? That's a faith issue in a sense. And so, you know, this whole episode happens, and they give you the tribute money. The tribute money is basically a temple tax. Right, that's what this is, a 2-drachma tax, which is a drachma is 2 days' worth, or it's 2 denarius is a drachma. 2 drachmas is a stater, okay? And so that's what's laid out. And so, you know, they go fish. Jesus brings, you know, asks Peter to draw fish, and all of a sudden in the fish's mouth. Oh, what are the chances? I mean, this is like, I think this is one of the most greatest miracles in the Bible that we kind of lose sight of, right? I mean, just, can you imagine the odds of this? I know you see David Blaine, and I know, Sean's a magician and they do stuff like this, but man, Jesus got these guys beat, He goes out, draws lines to the first fish that comes up. I mean, what are the odds of that? And then it happens to be exactly what they need, right? 2 drachmas, in this fish's mouth, and they go in and pay the tax. I still don't understand why. I'm still trying to talk to God about that, but, it's pretty good trick, if anything, right? So let's close our eyes today. And then just a point of reference to think about, especially this idea is if you have faith like a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move, and it will be moved. Now, the faith aspect, if I make a twist on it, it's not necessarily your ability to believe. But I think it has more in tune with your trust and your dependency. Are you depending on yourself? Or are you depending on God? As you pray for your lost friends, are you depending on your ability to witness to them or evangelize to them or opportunities? Or are you depending on God who saves? When we talk about healing, right? Are you dependent on the gifts that God has given to you? The abilities that He's given to you? Or are you dependent on God who heals? And as John leads us in a song of worship, let's just meditate on that and ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts.
Love. that you call me your own. There's no place I'd rather be in your arms, Lord Jesus, in your arms, Lord,
in your arms,
in your arms, Lord, in your
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray about that. Let's pray about our dependency. How dependent are we on the Lord? When it comes to your work, do you depend on yourself and your abilities? Or do you really depend on God? When it comes to your faith, do you depend on what you've learned? How you walk with the Lord? Your devotion? Or is it really dependent on Jesus? It's not the man who runs, the man who wills, but on God who has mercy. Are we dependent on the mercy of God in our lives? Let's just talk to God about that for ourselves right now. Let's pray together. Let's pray in our mission focus. Let's pray for our local missions. Pray for the churches here, international, Korean, Chinese. Pray for YWAM, Hong Kong, particularly Sports Services International that we heard from on Sunday, and Shanti Ministries, Godwin's Ministry. Pray for Face to Face. This is Pastor Jimmy. Zhengshan College and the school and the orphanages and the work in China. Feed the Hungry, the Armada, and Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's ask God to continue to bless these ministries as they branch off and do different things in Hong Kong, primarily ministering to the people here. Let's pray for real grace and anointing and provision for them. Let's pray. Let's pray for our weekend activities this weekend. And starting out, there's a local outreach today. And so ask God to bless those that are going there. Pray for IP meeting today as well. Pray for tomorrow, our Sunday services, our two services, 10 and 2. Pray for Noah's Ark, the youth group. We have a house church leaders meeting afterwards in the evening, just really ask God to just place His hand over each service, each meeting, each time the people of God would gather together. I want to talk about the service, pray for the welcoming and the worship team and just our time of prayer and the preaching and, you know, and every aspect of the service would really glorify God. Well, let's just cover our weekend activities. Let's pray for the Sunday House Church, pray for Beijing House Church, and P. Sam Kim and Chris and their families as they lead and really draw people, especially ones that are really focused on Beijing and God's really speaking to them about this place on this cover. Let's pray for our SP move. Let's ask God to continue to intervene on our behalf. You know, we have a kind of something that kind of opened up, and so we really need to pray and seek God's purposes in this. Let's continue to pray for our fundraising. You know, the end of this month, the 30th, is going to be our Pledge Sunday. And ask God to really speak to our congregation about raising funds for this year. Let's continue to pray for the Vine and ask God to bless them in their fundraising as well as they're kind of stuck in a hole right now. So pray for God to remove them out of that place. Let's pray. Let's pray for our sister May. Let's pray that she would just dwell in the presence of the Lord daily. Pray for her dad's salvation. Pray for her colleagues that are listed there, that she'd have a greater love for the corporate body and for God to give her a vision this year. Let's just lift up May. Pray for Elkie. Let's pray for the salvation for her family, mom, dad, brother, sister, brother-in-law, nephews. That God would touch them. Pray for healing for her mom, who has stomach cancer. And pray for her spiritual growth, that she would continue to grow and learn submission and obedience. And for marriage, that God would prepare a godly man for her in this time. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for Leanne. Let's pray for Taiwan. That the gospel will penetrate throughout the country. It will break a spirit of slumber, you know, and the Christians would awake. Pray for her family, for her father and little sister will come back to Jesus, and her father-in-law of faith will multiply. Pray for Yen and both of them, so they would excel as godly husband and wife, and to really be faithful warriors to do God's will. Pray for a blessing, for their marriage anointing, be spread and blessing to all the brothers and sisters who are willing to receive. Let's lift up. Let's continue to pray for Amber. And what's up? Still waiting? Wow, still waiting. She's 2 weeks late, right? So you know, just tell the baby to come out. Just pray, Lord, baby, come out, you know, as soon as possible. So let's just lift them up. I'm sure it's a strain on them, and especially a strain on her back. And so let's lift up Nate and the boys and ask God to really bring good news this weekend. Huh? Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you today, God. We thank you, Lord, that you give us reminders, Lord, at intervals in our life, God, that we need to be dependent on you, that we can't trust in our abilities, God. We can't trust what we learned yesterday, Lord. We put our faith in you and you alone, God. And just like kids, God, we're dependent on you. And so continue to teach us. God, I pray that you continue to give us strength, especially those that will be finishing their fast in just a few days, God. And help us to run, God, hard to the finish line, Father, God, in faithfulness, Lord. And others that are continuing on in the fast, Lord, give them strength, God, to battle through. Oh, we thank you. We bless you today, God. Watch over us this weekend, Lord, as we seek to glorify your Son, Jesus. And in his precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll be breaking the fast on Monday. If you helped out at the retreat and you're on that list, please go downstairs and pick up your sweatshirt, okay? We want to try to get rid of them this weekend. And today, there's actually a ministry in Hong Kong. They're giving away free Christian books and Bibles. And so from 10 to 3 in Tung Chung at the YMCA, you can go and just grab free books if you want. I know there's a bunch of us going, so feel free to do that. If you need more info, just talk to Pastor Nate, okay? All right. God bless you guys. I'll see you tomorrow.